It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Good Wednesday evening. My name is Braden Gall, in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN App, 855-242-7285. We will talk with Andrea Adelson of ESPN as she's spoken with the ACC commissioner coming up in about 15 minutes. But time for your calls, boys and girls. We're going to take calls rest of the hour. So we head back to the phone lines, 855-242-7285. JK from Alabama. JK, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, dude? You all right today?
Yeah, man. I'm hanging in there, having a good time.
Hey, man. Hey, man. You know, one thing about opinions. No, all of them are right because they're just opinions. So I'm going to attempt to give mine. And I kind of agree with Bubba about Alabama not being deserving of being in that playoffs when they didn't even win the SEC West. My question was always, how can you be one of the four best in the country when you wasn't the best out of seven in a division? That was my whole take. And this whole playoff thing, it was flawed from the beginning. It was never intended to be fair because you had four spots, but you had five Power Five conferences. That was the first flaw. Okay, this is all about money, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely about money, nothing else. That's why the conference championships were started. That's why you allow Alabama to go to the playoffs when they didn't deserve to. When you had a 13-0 UCF team, they didn't make it because Alabama would draw more money. It's all about money, period. I don't care how you slice it. That's what it comes down to, the dollar bill. That's it. And let me tell you one more thing.
Yeah.
This playoff situation, and not the playoff situation, the SEC going to so-called pods. What happened to going to pods when A&M and Missouri joined? Now all of a sudden you want to go to pods and get the two best records, in my opinion, because they're protecting the two bell cows, Alabama and Georgia. Otherwise, the records, the schedules, none of that stuff matters because how can you allow Alabama to play those four cupcakes that they have this year, Vanderbilt, Utah State, ULM, and powerful Austin Peay. But then you won't ever see when Oklahoma joins with Texas, you'll never see Alabama play Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, and LSU on the same schedule, regular season schedule, ever. And if it was all about what the fans wanted, why wouldn't you see those games? Nobody wants to see Austin Peay, ULM, Utah State, and Vanderbilt in T-Town. For what? The score is going to be 50-0 in the third quarter, and those teams are going to screw up the spread by kicking a late field goal. So why would we want to see that crap?
I agree with you, JK, and thanks for the call. Lots of stuff here. I'll try to go through it quickly. Number one, I do not know why this is hard to understand. Why can you not be one of the four best teams in America, and also number two in your division? Why is that so hard to understand? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand why that is difficult. Who's to say that the three best teams aren't in the SEC this year? I can make a case right now that Alabama, Georgia, and A&M are three of the best four teams in college football in 2022. I don't know why that's difficult to understand. Like, just because you happen to be located in the same geographic region as Alabama, you're not deserving of being a champion. Also, the bell cows, who was the bell cow in 2019? Was it Alabama and Georgia in 2019? Nah, it was LSU. Who was the bell cow in 2010? Who was the bell cow in 07? Who was the bell cow in 2013? It changes all the time. Again, you can be one of the top four teams and be number two in your division. It's not that complicated to understand. Now, the argument for, and here's what I would argue to your point about scheduling, JK, which is when can we get a team playing all those tough games? It's more likely when you get rid of divisions. It is more likely that you will play all those teams in the same year if you get rid of divisions, because right now Alabama is not going to play Florida or Georgia for 12 years. 12 years. They're not going to play in the regular season. They'll play twice in 12 years at the end of it, and then they'll go 10 more years without playing them because they won't rotate on and off the schedule for 10 years. All I'm saying is let's rotate them on and off the schedule every 2 years. So you actually do get to see more of these teams playing each other. Mike from Alabama. Mike, what's up? How are you, man? Welcome to the Feinbaum Show.
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Hello?
I'm here, buddy. What's up?
Okay, hey. All right, I've got a little format, and bear with me. I'm going to try to explain it the easiest way I can.
All right.
Let's just use A and B, for example. Make an A league with six conferences, 16 teams per conference, East and a West. You don't have to play all your teams in the East every year, but have random teams where you play your conference teams more often than every 12 years. Then you take a B league. You do the exact same teams. It's the exact same team with that. You take your Conference USA, your AAC, your Sun Belt, make a league for them. So you got an A league and a B league. Your A league would try for a championship. Your B league would try for a championship, because the teams that are, you know, like that, South Alabama and teams like that, they don't ever have a chance to win a championship in the format we got now. You know, take the championship just like we always do for the A league, and then do the same exact thing for the B league. And you would still have your rivals. You wouldn't have any more cupcake games.
Yeah.
And you would play your teams more often than every 12 years, like you were talking about a while ago.
Yeah. And thank you, Mike. I think you're right about one thing. I think we need a second tier championship, unfortunately. I think we're going to have a split. So I would love to see that. It's not going to happen, but I would love to see it. I'm with you on that, Mike. Thank you for the call. And this goes back to the JK point about the divisions and the scheduling. Like, nobody wants cupcake games anymore. Like, Greg Byrne has said this, AD for Alabama, said this number of times. We want to schedule big games because they sell more tickets and they draw higher TV ratings, and then we can turn around as a conference, the SEC, and go sell that to ESPN or whoever the highest bidder is at the time. So everyone agrees we don't want that crap. Like, we're done with it, even though it's good for those schools to, even though they take a physical beating, that it's a financial windfall. And we all know the dynamics at play. Easy for me to say. But this is why they're going to go to 9 conference games, because 9 conference games is more inventory to sell to their television partners and to their season ticket holders. The more times you get Auburn and Tennessee, Alabama and Georgia, LSU and Kentucky, whatever. Like, the more often you get these teams that have not been playing, you are going to have more good games, more inventory, and more revenue. That's what it's all for. Ideally, that makes it better on us, the fans. Ron from Alabama. Ron, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, man?
Well, welcome to the selective hearing, SEC.
Hello.
I heard you make a comment about Wisconsin at 8-5. They didn't deserve it, but they were the conference champ. I don't think anybody else in the SEC heard that, but I did hear it, okay? It's called selective hearing when you're in the SEC. I know you're new to this region.
No. Let me be clear, and I'm not cutting you off here, Ron. I'm going to give you your time. I want to be very clear. I have lived in the Southeast for 35 consecutive years, and I'm an SEC grad. So this is not new territory
okay,
for me.
Okay, good. Now, I agree with you 100% about the divisions, and JK, it was all about money. No other sport in the SEC has divisions. Think about that. That right there should tell you something.
There you go.
Only football has it. Basketball had it, and they realized this is a mistake, and they got away with it. I mean, the SEC admitted it. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
And only the people about rivalries that care about anything is the sportscasters. I don't care. I'm an Auburn fan. I'm 73 years old. I do remember our national championship in '57, okay? I don't care if we play Georgia every year. The only team I want to play every year is Bama, because that's in our state and that is our tradition. Georgia is not a tradition. We might be the oldest rivalry and the oldest game in the South, but it doesn't mean a big squat to me. I'm like you. I'd like to see Florida on our schedule. But the powers to be, like Herb Street and all you guys, I'm going to say you, but they talk about traditions. They talked about Oklahoma coming to the SEC, how it's going to mess up the, you know, their tradition. What tradition? Texas A&M and Texas don't matter. You know, we just want to watch games only. And then sports catchers say, football is better when Notre Dame is a winner. Football is better when USC is a winner. Football is better when Miami is a winner. That's bullcrap. We don't miss USC. We don't miss Notre Dame. We don't miss these teams. Football is better because it is football. And one more thing, as an Auburn fan, go back and look, and you will find for the last 10 years, probably since forever, Auburn is the toughest schedule in the country almost every other year. You know why? We play Georgia, we play Alabama, we play LSU, and we play Texas A&M every year. Mm-hmm. You would almost be crazy if you would almost be crazy to be a coach to come to that schedule. And that's why, and that's why, I mean, think
about it.
That's
why you have a tough time hiring coaches.
Trust me. And that's why I applaud Brian Harsin. I mean, that man left a place that he could win 9 games just by showing up, and he wants to come play with us. I mean, so I, as an Auburn fan, I'm all for it, because I would love to see Kentucky. I would love to see Vanderbilt on a regular basis. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So let's let everybody, let's let everybody else in the SEC experience what Auburn has experienced back for the last 10 to 12 years. And I didn't realize you was a Southern boy, because I have not heard you say you all yet.
Hey, okay, Ron, let me be very clear. Thank you for the call, Ron. Let me be very clear. I am sweet tea, grits, and ranch dressing, baby, all right? I'm Muscle Shoals, Jason Isbell, Alabama. Like, don't question my Southern credentials just because I may not have the draw that everybody else has. You know what I mean? I talk for a living, you know? I had to work on my non-regional diction at a very young age. No, I've lived in Tennessee, Georgia, Texas since I was 4 years old. And I'm grit, sweet tea, and ranch dressing all the way, baby, all the way. I will say, here's the key to all of this: tradition versus non-tradition versus new rivalries, old rivalries. The number one thing that we are trying to accomplish with a new scheduling format in the SEC, honestly, is balance. Balance competitively, balance geographically, and balance from a tradition standpoint. We want balance. We want some of the newness of some more games that we haven't seen very often while trying to protect some of the old ones that matter to us. Isn't that as simple as it gets? We are trying to achieve balance, which is trying to put Texas and Texas A&M back together, keeping Texas and Oklahoma together. This is the goal. It's about balance. And we're going to save some rivalries when we do this, and we're going to create some new ones. And that is the key to the new schedule. And for me, that means, just as a selfish SEC football fan, that means more good football games for me to watch. And that's all I care about as a fan. Andrea Adelson from ESPN, talking divisions when we come back right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We'll get back to your calls momentarily, 855-242-7285. Braden Gall in for Paul. You can give me a follow if you want to tell me how bad my takes are. I'm fine with that. That's what Twitter is for. I love it that you would take time out of your day to tell me how dumb my takes are. At Braden Gall on Twitter. And one of the best in the business, period, bar none, full stop. Andrea Adelson joining us here covering the ACC meetings. Andrea, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am sitting here in a rocking chair in Amelia Island, Florida, with a nice breeze and future cool drink in my hand.
So how
could I be better than that?
Well, I would argue having the cold drink now is fine with me. No one's listening. No one's listening, Andrea. So you had a chance to sit down. The press corps had a chance to talk to Commissioner Jim Phillips from the ACC. You had a chance to talk to him as well. It sounds like there's no vote yet on the scheduling and divisions, but it sounds like they're moving towards something, which is hilarious and awesome because they've only been doing this for a decade.
Oh, you know, I have been coming to these meetings for the last 10 years, and every AD that came out of their last meeting, I said, well, no, he didn't take a vote. I'm like, it's been 10 years. Someone take a vote. Like, you have been talking up this scheduling model with the three permanent opponents. Then you rotate through five every year until you start back over. It feels pretty straightforward to me at this point. What are we waiting on? And the answer to that, and from the commissioner as well, is, well, you know, we just want to make sure we're really, 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 really sure. And then we promise we'll take a vote and we'll make a decision and then we'll stop talking about it. So this decision is literally 10 years in the making, and they don't feel like they need to do it right this second. As long as they do it in time to make a schedule for the 2023 season. So I'm going to figure at some point this fall we'll have a final decision on that.
Yeah. Do you get a sense of what the negative drawbacks are, what they're concerned about in terms of, like, keeping the division? I know the coaches in the Coastal want to have an easier path to the championship game. I get that. But what are the negatives to doing away with divisions?
Well, certainly there are some coaches who have strong opinions about this, and they may or may not be in the Coastal. Your guess is right. because it obviously gives them a better path to a championship game. But I've also heard from some other coaches just about, you know, the importance of being able to say you're a division champion and how meaningful that has been for their student athletes to be able to celebrate an accomplishment like that. And it also makes the tiebreaker scenarios a little less messy than when you don't have divisions, if you've got like a three or a four-way tie somewhere up at the top. But the coaches can complain all they want. They're not really going to have a say on the matter. Ultimately, the athletic directors are going to decide. And every athletic director that we've talked to and the commissioner basically said it's headed in this direction. We feel like it's in the best interest of the conference moving forward to be able to create better and more appealing matchups, get teams to play each other more often. And the one thing that Jim Phillips said today was, you know, we want to make sure we're taking this to the television partners, i.e. ESPN, to get their feedback and their take on this, because, you know, ESPN ultimately will be able to say these are the types of matchups we like, because the ACC is looking for a more national marquee type spotlight game. We saw that work for them without divisions in 2020. So again, they took it to the ADs and coaches. Now they want to make sure the television partners are all on board, and then there'll be a vote.
Andrea Adelson joining us here from ESPN covering the ACC meetings. And, yeah, the coaches who say they don't want to get rid of divisions because it's an easier path to the championship, they're sort of giving away the game by saying that. Like, they're sort of that's like showing people your hand at the poker table. You tweeted this out, and I find this to be fascinating because of the ACC's positioning within college football. And one of his quotes, Jim Phillips, today that you posted on your timeline is, quote, "I think it's time for us to look at alternative models for football. If we're ever going to do something, and I hear about the future of football, taking care of the sport of football, this is the time to do it." What does he mean, big picture, in terms of the ACC's role in all those decisions?
Well, certainly he believes that the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick need to get together and try and figure out what is a sustainable model for college football specifically moving forward. Because let's be honest here, college football is not run like every other sport that's under the NCAA umbrella. In fact, college football championship isn't even under the NCAA umbrella, right? Now, the college football playoff runs that, and Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith said last week, well, maybe the CFP should run FBS football only because of where things stand, in particular to that sport with the restructuring we're seeing in the NCAA, the transfer portal, all these questions about NIL and tampering and enforcement. Because college football is so different than all these others, and oh, by the way, the amounts of revenues that are being generated by these television contracts that are geared 99.9% of the way for college football means that it's completely different than trying to figure out how you're going to govern and oversee volleyball, for example. I'm not picking on volleyball, but that's a true statement. And so right. Jim just thinks because of where the NCAA is right now with some of the transformation committees, looking for a new NCAA president, all these other issues that they've been talking about here, not only at these meetings, but all the other league meetings across the country. And I'm sure the SEC will talk about this at their league meetings in a couple of weeks. If there's going to be a time to rethink of everything, because they're already doing it on an NCAA level, well, yeah, everybody should be involved in trying to figure out what's the best path for a sustainable college football moving forward.
Andrea, I'm not going to go into the details of the grant of rights and all the TV contract stuff for the ACC, but it does feel like, on one hand, I think fans can complain that feels like it's allowing the conference maybe to get left behind from a financial standpoint, but it's also keeping the conference together. And we heard Jack Swarbrick talking about how there's so many teams that are trying to get out of their conference. What does the future of the ACC look like when it's compared to the SEC, the Big Ten, even maybe the Pac-12?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head that for right now, the grant of rights is holding everybody together, and they are tied in contractually through 2036. And the grant of rights means that essentially – if anybody decides they want to leave, well, all their television rights stay in the ACC. So imagine how much money a school would lose if they decide, you know what, this gap is like too big and I need to go to a conference that's going to put my program in a much better financial situation. It's cost prohibitive to try and do that right now. And we haven't even mentioned what the buyout would be to get out of the conference. So, yes, the grant of rights is holding the ACC together, but there's no question that among the discussions that they've had here, and we asked Jim Phillips about this today, is that growing financial gap with the SEC and with what the Big Ten is set to earn from their new television contract. So at some point down the line, does this mean there might be another restructuring of collegiate athletics because that gap is so big and conferences like the ACC, perhaps the Pac-12, maybe the Big 12 can't really compete anymore because they're not going to be in the same ballpark as where the SEC and the Big 10 are. And Jim's answer to that today was essentially, well, just because you have the most money doesn't guarantee that you're going to be the one that's winning all the championships. Well, if you look at it from a football perspective, that may or may not be true. Yes, okay, Clemson has won a couple from the ACC and Florida State in 2013, but who's dominated the national championship conversation over the last couple of decades? And moving forward, who do we think, if we project out, is going to dominate what that conversation is going to look like. So, yes, it's a concern that that gap continues to grow. And the ACC, in fact, Jim Phillips said today, is going to be hiring at some point a chief revenue officer whose job is going to be to look for different types of revenue streams to bring into the ACC. Because, look, nobody in this league can argue, oh, everything's just going to be fine. There's a huge gap that's only going to widen. So the league needs to take some proactive steps now to be able to figure out ways that they can try and at least close it in the short term and get a little bit closer in the long term, or a lot closer in the long term.
Yeah, the saying is he who has the gold makes the rules, but in college football it's he who has the gold gets the players, and he who has the players wins the championship. So there's no question about that. Andrea, always a pleasure. You're one of the best in the business. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy your cold cocktail here very soon, and everybody give her a follow, of course. She's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the kind words. Appreciate having you on.
Absolutely. Andrea Adelson there at A. Adelson ESPN, covering all things ACC. Yeah, it is a fascinating place for the ACC to be right now. The thing that is holding them back is also the thing that is keeping them together. That is a wild place for them to be right now, because they're fifth in attendance, they're fifth in revenue, like they're behind the Big 12 right now. But they're being kept together, even though they probably have the most poachable teams in all of college football. If the SEC was going to expand, or the Big Ten was going to expand again and they were going to go poach teams, you know who they want? They want North Carolina. They want Virginia Tech. They want Clemson, Florida State, and Miami. They don't want to go west any further. There's nobody there of value anymore. The SEC already took them. ACC is in a really, really strange and interesting place. So appreciate Andrea jumping on with us and giving us what Jim Phillips had to say today, the commissioner for the conference on the Atlantic Coast side of things. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. My name is Braden Gall, 855-242-7285. All of your calls the rest of the way here on the Wednesday edition here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio. Braden Gall in for Paul. You can get to me on the Twitters, at Braden Gall. 855-242-7285. Where I can give you my Southern fried credentials there if you need me to. Tyler Childers and Rotgut Whiskey, all right? If you know what that is, I feel like you're a Southerner. I feel like if you know what Rotgut Whiskey is, you're a Southerner. Let's go to the phone lines here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I-Man, welcome to the show, I-Man. How are you?
Good afternoon, Braden.
Good afternoon.
You know, you don't have to clarify anything. When you said Jason Isbell, you said no. That was a mouthful. That means that takes you directly to the drive-by truckers.
There you go.
And you know, enough said. Enough said. That's biscuits.
I agree, man.
You're getting calls from people that we don't know from Adam's house cat, and I know Adam's house cat because I'm the outdoor cat that makes Adam's house cat stay inside. And you're getting a lot of useless opinions. And that one caller earlier, Saban in 2017 putting Tua in, pulling Hurd out. Oh, that was brilliant. That wasn't brilliant. You know what that was? Let's call it what it was. It was desperate.
Yeah. Can it be both?
That's exactly what it was.
Could it be both? Both brilliant, ballsy?
No, it wasn't brilliant by any means.
Okay.
And let me clarify. It was desperate. They were getting their heads handed to them. And then they talked about, you know, the announcers. Oh, look at him. He's looking away. Look, he's looking away. He's forcing them to go to the right. And the guy's wide open. Devontae Smith went into huddle and told Tua, I can outrun this dude. Throw me the ball. And Tua looked over, and he had no choice but to throw him the ball because he thought he was correct. That was not coaching. It was not brilliant. That was two freshmen on the football field in the huddle saying, throw me the ball. And the other guy said, okay.
Okay.
There was nothing Saban did. It wasn't brilliant at all. It was pure desperate. And it was two freshmen on the field that called the play.
All right.
Now, enough said about that game.
All right.
But I do agree that you know, the playoff was put together for the four best teams. It wasn't put together for the conference winners.
There
no matter
go.
Who that is,
there you go.
It's the four best teams. And they've got it pretty – the BCS had it right but one year. And that's the year that Oklahoma and Texas – I mean, USC went undefeated and Auburn was sitting there third.
04.
I mean, that's the only year. And you know what? That changed the way the voting took place. And since the playoff, they've kind of got it right. I mean, I'd say they've got it right. The number five team is always going to complain, but then again, that's what they do best, isn't it? Complain.
You betcha, man.
You know, and we're talking about this SEC schedule. You know, Auburn, just like your other Auburn caller, Auburn has traditionally played one of the toughest schedules in the country. And I don't care if my team is 8-4, 7-5, 6-6. I want to play the absolute best competition there is on the field that you can get. And the best competition is not Alabama State, not Tennessee, Chattanooga, or any of those schools. No disrespect, but there's enough teams with Texas and Oklahoma coming in that the SEC could play strictly an SEC schedule, and it would not hurt them one bit in any of their games, any of their rankings. With what we see on the field right now with the coaching staffs and the way these teams are being built, the SEC could play nothing but SEC games. We don't need to play. And you know what? If we did go out of conference, nobody in the SEC needs to play anybody that's not in the top five of the other major conferences. If you want good football, that's what you do.
There you go. Good job, man. Appreciate you, bud.
I appreciate you.
I can't disagree with much of that right there at all, man. It's first of all, if you start with referencing the drive-by truckers, you know, you had me at Jason Isbell. There's no question about that. It's hard to argue with that. I think it was more desperation and genius altogether. But I get it. I think they were desperate in that situation. Saban doesn't make that change if he's not desperate. But I also agree. Here's another thing too. And this is scheduling. So I work at Athlon Sports. We make predictions. 15 years I've been at Athlon, and a lot of times the schedule was a huge factor in how we decided our predictions, conference champion or, you know, wherever you might finish in the pecking order. I think I'm using less and less of schedule and more of talent and coaching, because the best teams, to I-Man's point here, the best teams, it almost doesn't matter what your schedule is. If you are one of the best 2, 3, 4 teams in college football, you will get there. If you truly are an elite team like Georgia was last year or every other champion, you're going to get there. You're going to get there, no problem. Let's go back to the phone lines, 855-242-7285. Jamie in Alabama. Jamie, welcome to the Feinbaum Show.
Hi, man. Hey, can you hear me?
I got you.
This is just my thing. I actually agree with I-Man. Sorry, I'm having a hard time talking.
It's okay.
I agree with his what he said, but my thing, I just want your concept on this. Nick Saban has pushed for 9 SEC games, correct?
Yes, sir.
And they always done that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Keep the divisions the way they are. 5 teams in each division play each 5 teams. Then they play 4 in the other divisions. That equals 9, right?
Well, you're going to have 16 teams. So if you go divisions, you're going to have 8 team divisions, which means you're going to play 7 games in your division.
I'm not counting Oklahoma and Texas yet.
Okay. Well, you still have to play 6 games in your division. Yeah, 6-3, yep.
Yeah, okay. But then you have three games left. All right. As everybody says, two cupcakes. All right. Make everybody play one power conference, which, like, Auburn's playing Utah this year. Alabama's playing Texas this year. Just a thought. And then, you know, whoever wins the SEC out of those nine games wins it. And you play the East, you play the West. Five in your division, four from the other division. Just a thought.
Sure.
Might be wrong, but.
Appreciate it, Jamie. Well, it would be 6-3. It would be 6 in your division. Thanks for the call, Jamie. It would be 6 in the division and then 3 that rotate. And again, in 2 years, that would change because you're adding Texas and Oklahoma. So you have to consider that in the new scheduling model, which again would then be 7 games in the division and 2 rotating, even if you did expand to 9, which still only means you're playing teams every 14 years in their location, in their home building. That is, I'm telling you guys, that is not what the SEC wants. And it is not what the fans should want. We should want to see more of each other in the SEC. We should want to see more LSU, Tennessee, Auburn and Florida, Alabama, Georgia. We should see those games more often.